I invite you to turn your Bibles to the 31st number of Psalms, Psalm 31. I want to bring your attention to a couple of verses in that Psalm as you are able to pull yourself together. Amen. I don't know about you, but I kind of wanted to hang out and linger there for a while. No need to rush, right? Because I think Minister Joslyn, as she was saying, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and freedom. When his presence shows up, you got everything that you need. Amen. And I just wanted to hang out there for a moment. Amen. Not thinking about Super Bowl fixings, not thinking about Super Bowl parties, not thinking about plays or whatever, but just hanging out in the presence of God. Amen. Psalm 31, verses 19 and 20. If you would, it's on the screen. I'd like for us to read that together once you've found it on your device, found it in your Bible. Once you find it, I'd like for you to look up and read it together so that we are all reading from the same particular version. Amen. And if you have the strength, I want to invite you to go ahead and stand for the reading of these couple of verses. Praise God. Praise God. Let's read these like we, even though you ain't read them, like we believe them, because they're what? God's word. It's in God's word. We know it to be true. Amen. Let's read together. How abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you, that you bestow in the sight of all on those who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from all human intrigues. You keep them safe in your dwelling from accusing tongues. That's a good scripture, isn't it? Amen. That's one that you all have. If you don't have it highlighted, you need to highlight that one. If you don't have it underlined, you need to underline that one. And after you've done that one, you need to make sure that you hide that one in your heart. Amen. Amen. Father, as we begin to think about abundant blessing as it relates to this scripture, we pray, oh God, for clarity of thought and the ability, Father, to communicate your message, your word of truth. Therefore, Father, I surrender myself to you and ask that you would speak to us. Our hearts have been prepared through worship. Now we simply ask that you would plant the seed that it might produce life, 30, 60, 100-fold of what is sown. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Psalm 31 is attributed to David, that Psalter, that psalmist that penned so many of the Psalms in the Bible. When you read the psalm, I want you to go back and take a look at it. When you read the psalm, you will discover that this psalm was written at a difficult time in David's life. Just reading down through the verses, you discover that David was being harassed, taunted, pursued, chased. It's almost anything that you can think of, it almost shows up in this particular psalm. There we have these verses where David declares a truth that he has repeated over and over in the psalm. David states in the psalm, "I trust in the Lord." He says it over and over again, but I trust in you, Lord. Things are rough right now, but God, my times are in your hands. Things are going hard, but I commit, God, my spirit to you because I trust in you. This is not, God, the way I thought it would be. I didn't think it was going to work out like this. But God, this ain't the end of the story because I trust in you. David was dealing with that interesting concept that you and I and others sometimes have, is that when we are with God, that our lives become trouble-free. You and I know that to be true because we have been walking with God and we have also been experiencing trouble. And our trouble has not come because we have not walked with God, but in many times our trouble has come because we are with God. And the enemy of our soul chooses to try to press up against us, to make us turn back. But you and I keep saying, no! We won't turn back because we trust in God and our times are in his hands. And that's the posture that you and I must continually maintain. That we must be at a place of determining that it doesn't matter what our outward circumstances look like. It doesn't matter what presses in upon us, that we will be determined that we won't turn back. We will be determined that we will hold fast to the one who is held onto us. That we will guard our hearts and our minds, and we won't allow the attacks of the enemy to make us say anything bad about a good, good God like the one that we serve. But instead, with each difficult turn, we will say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Let all that is within me bless his holy name. Brothers and sisters, if you and I could train our hearts, can train our souls to bless the Lord, what will happen is that in return, the Lord will bless us. Amen? You've got to lead your soul. You've got to train your soul. You've got to lead your heart to bless the Lord. Jeremiah said this, the heart above all things is deceptive. He said, who can really know the truth about the heart? But then he says, aha, God knows, because men look on external appearances, but God looks at the heart. God can know the heart, and God can fix the heart, and God can set the heart straight. Why? Because he is a heart regulator. Amen. And so if I have to lead my heart instead, you know how some folks say, follow your heart? No, that's bad advice. That's bad advice. You and I know sometimes my heart is telling me to go get another chocolate chip cookie. You notice I said another. I got the first one. Amen. And so I have to tell it, no. As good as it was, I can't do it. As bad as I want to, I can't. So I gotta lead. You and I have to lead our hearts. You need to remember that, brothers and sisters, because we like, if I feel it. Amen. That's what we say, brother. If I feel it, it's okay. No. That's what's getting people in trouble right now. What they feel. Right? You and I, we are not led. We are not driven. We don't walk by our feelings, but instead we walk by faith. We walk by faith. We don't walk by feelings. Now, sometimes in the middle, it feels good, but we walk by faith. And so you and I must teach, train, lead our hearts to bless the Lord. Lead our souls to bless the Lord. And if we can do that, what happens in turn is that God turns around and he blesses us. Oh, last week, Pastor Carol talked about things that will affect your relationship with God. She talked about sometimes, unfortunately, there we get to a place where we're not seeking God like he wants to be sought. Amen. And if you and I are not seeking and pursuing after God, that will have an effect upon your relationship with God. Because God wants to be pursued. He wants to be the lover of your soul. He wants to be the one that you chases after. It's like, as the deer panteth after the water, so God, my heart chases after you. He says, that's what I want to be like. Sometimes we get a little dry. And when you get a little dry, that can affect your relationship with the Lord. She says, sometimes what happens is you allow yourself to become yoked up with stuff that has nothing to do with kingdom business, that has nothing to do with the Lord God and your relationship with him. And when you allow yourself to become yoked up with things that are not a priority to God, with things or people that are not even committed to God, she says that will affect your relationship with God. In fact, she talked about how it will impact your prayer life. Says that if you want to maintain a hot relationship with God, you've got to be a person of prayer. You've got to be seeking him. You've got to be making things that are important to God important to you. And you've got to be in regular conversation with God, talking to and receiving from him. Using his word as your guide, because you need your word, his word, to instruct and inform your heart so that you are leading your soul to bless the Lord. It is important that you and I know that this relationship with God also affects the blessings that God wants to pour out upon you and me. God has declared that he wants to bless us, and he wants to bless us abundantly. Jesus declared, he said, I have come that you might have what? Life, and have it how? More abundantly. He said he came that we might have life and have it abundantly. And then he reiterates that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He says, but I've come that you might have life. When you go back and you look in Genesis chapter 1, you will see that God talks about blessing. He said he created mankind and then he blessed them. He said, go, be fruitful and multiply, rule over all that I have created. He blessed them when God began talking about Noah as he was getting ready to end that first set of folk that got all out of whack. He started talking about God created mankind and he blessed them. It is in God's nature. It's a part of his character to bless his creation and those who are close to him. We often talk about you can't beat God what? Giving, no matter how you try. Because it is God's nature and character to be a giver and a blesser. James chapter 1, you're familiar with it. In verses 16 and 17, the word says, don't be deceived, my brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of heavenly lights. Comes from above. Comes from above. That every good thing that you have comes from God. And it says, and he chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. It's God's desire to bless you and me. But what I have discovered is that we sometimes get in the way of his blessing. Amen. We sometimes get in the way of God blessing us. Because sometimes we think about blessing in terms of things. Some people just want God for the things that they can get from God. If you're just trying to get close to God for the things that you can get from God, you're trying to hustle God. Can I just go ahead and be honest? God ain't nobody's pimp. Amen. He's nobody's vending machine. He's nobody. I'll stop right there because you know the list could go on. Because you know how people try to hustle God. But they're hustling God for things, for what they call material blessings. And the idea in their minds is the more I get, the more blessed I am. They are measuring their material blessings and putting an equal sign out beside those material blessings equaling blessed. Which means that they have not understood the word blessed. Because it extends beyond material stuff. Amen? And for the person that is only pursuing God for the things that they can get, they shortchange themselves of God's true blessing intended for them. So sometimes we can get in the way of God wanting to bless us. Can I just let you know that your mind has not been able to conceive, to imagine just how good God wants to bless you? Can I just tell you that I don't care what you come up with in your imagination about what you want God to do for you. It pales in comparison to what God is not only able to do, but what he desires to do. And when you make the mistake of putting God in a box and putting your boundaries around God, and when you make a mistake of limiting God by telling him how to bless you, you miss out on God's best blessing for you. Can I tell you that the greatest blessing that any individual can receive from God is to have God dwell with you. Ooh. 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 If I got God. What? I don't need what? Nobody else. If I got God. Right? I got what? All that I need. Have you read in the song? It said the cattle on 1,000 hills. Not just one hill. Belongs to him. God said, I don't need anybody to feed me. He says, I do the feeding. He says, I'm the Jehovah Jireh. I'm the provider. And so the greatest blessing that any of us can ever receive from God is for him to dwell with us, to be present with us. Because when he is with us, boy, he can deal with anything that comes up against us. Amen. In this psalm, David begins to highlight and talk about the greatness of who God is. When you walk through this psalm, you see again David describing the difficulties that he is experiencing, but understanding that those difficulties are not the end of the story. They are really just a part of what God is doing. And David then makes this bold declaration where he says, how abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you. And so David is saying that if you and I want to experience the abundant blessing or the abundant good things that God has stored up for us, the first thing that we've got to learn how to do is have a healthy fear for God. Amen. That's the first thing you've got to do is learn how to have a healthy fear of and for God. No. God doesn't want you to be scared of him, but he do. Amen. It's a little bit of both, right? You ain't scared of him, but you scared. Amen. 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 You know, as you're raising up your children, you know you don't want your children to be afraid of you, but you want them to be afraid of you, right? Amen. You want to have tapped them up enough to know. If you don't know what tapped up means, I'll talk to you after we dismiss, and I can explain to you what tapped up means. But you want them to know enough that when you say something, you mean what you say. Amen. Amen. You only want to repeat so many times. And when you extend, when you get beyond that limit of the number of times that I've said I'm going to repeat, I've got to change the way in which I communicate with you, because apparently you've not understood what I've been saying. And so I've got to use language that you better understand. So I've got to bring a little bit of pain to some parts of you that enable the blood vessels to open up in your brain so that you're able to make a connection that no means no, stop means stop, don't means don't do it. Amen? In that, I don't want the child to be scared of me, but I want them to have a healthy, reverent respect for what my word says. Amen? Because if they have a healthy, reverent respect for what my word says, they basically got everything that I've got. Amen? Amen. In my proximity, they get all the benefit that comes with being with me. Amen? If they can learn how to adhere to what I have said, we don't waste time with me having to discipline you. Amen? But if you can't get with the program, you miss out on some blessing. Amen? They have access to abundant blessing from their perspective. But if they cannot get with the program, they miss out on the abundant blessing. They're going to be blessed, right? Because when it's time to eat, you still going to eat. Amen. Amen. You still going to enjoy the heat when it's cold, and you're going to enjoy the cold when it's hot. Amen. You still going to enjoy the water to get the stink off your body. Amen. And to be refreshed. You're going to be blessed. I'm not going to withhold any of those things from you. I'm still going to get you some clothes to cover up your nakedness. But if you think that's being abundantly blessed, that child has missed it. Amen. They miss the fact that there is more that's available to you. But because you've chosen not to fear me, you're not getting the abundance of the blessing that is available to you. Oh, and unfortunately, sometimes we do that with God. But what the text is saying is that if you want to experience abundant blessing from the Lord, the first thing you got to do is learn how to what? Fear him. Learn how to respect him. Learn how to revere him. Learn how to honor him. God, I honor you so much, I'm not going to use your name in vain. I don't care what other folk doing, but God, you ain't going to hear me using your name any kind of old way. God, I love you and honor you, and I respect you so much, God, that I'm not going to mess around and behave any kind of old way and then attach your name to it, God, because I honor you, I revere you, and I respect you. And the most obvious one that is caught in that is that, God, when you say something, God, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to argue with you, God, like you don't know what you're talking about. You are the all-knowing God. What I look like arguing with you, telling you that what you just told me to do wasn't a good idea. God says that if that's the way you feel, I will still bless you. I'll let you breathe the air that I provide. I'll still bless you. I'll let you enjoy the sunshine that I provide. I'll still bless you. I'll let it rain upon you. But as long as you choose to walk in disobedience to what I've said, don't be expecting any extra. No dessert for you. Amen. Amen. And so if you and I are to experience and receive the abundant blessing that God has stored up for us, first thing we've got to do is learn how to fear the Lord. I have an acronym for that I've shared with you before, but I like it because I kind of have it written. And every time I read the word fear in my Bible, I actually kind of run that through my mind. This word fear, faithfully exhibit allegiance to and reverence for God. To faithfully exhibit allegiance to and reverence for God. Faithfully. What it looks like. Allegiance. I'm tied to you. I'm committed to you. I belong to you. I am yours. Reverence. I revere you. I honor you. I respect you. I acknowledge you as God. Therefore, I learn to fear you in all that I do. The text says that there are things that God has stored up for those who fear him. And then it says that you bestow on them in the sight of all. You got to look at that next part, on those who take refuge in you. So then, first, I've got to learn how to fear God, and I've got to practice that. So it's got to be something that I'm practicing. And then I've got to learn how to take refuge in God. God is my trust. It's where I put my hope, my confidence in. It is in God. That word refuge is a word that talks about, if you will, taking cover in God. It's a word that deals with a safe retreat. I like that word, right? Safe retreat. That when when you're reading through this, you're going to see that David was going through stuff. Enemies were pressing up against him, but he uses this word refuge as to say that I'm not trying to fight God my own battle. I'm hiding and trusting in you. I'm taking refuge in you. I'm covering you. I'm getting behind you, God. That's the one that I'm taking refuge in. So it's a safe retreat. Another word, refuge, is a place of healing and renewal. It is the idea that when I take refuge in God, there is healing that comes because God, who is the healer, takes and restores me. And so I can rest in him and find refuge. That's why whenever sickness attacks your body, it's all right to rest in the Lord. Amen. You go let the doctors do whatever it is they need to do, and then you rest in the Lord. Why? Because doctors can do the procedure, but God does the healing and the restoration, and you've got to rest in Him, right? And when you take refuge in Him, you're thanking Him for a successful procedure, but then you rest in Him and say, now, God, go ahead and do your thing. Amen. Amen. And when you're there, God is taking and He is using everything that He has already put in the body to begin to heal you and to restore you and to renew you because you've taken refuge in Him. So a place of healing and renewal. And then it's also a stronghold. So this word refuge has many, many attributes with it. It's a stronghold from which you can also then launch a counterattack. That when you are taking refuge in the Lord, He positions you then to know how to stand against your enemy. So it's like God will bless you in your place of refuge. When you're hiding in Him and you're taking refuge in Him, He'll bless you. One of the best pictures you and I see of this comes out of Psalm 23. Remember when David talks about He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies? It is the idea of he is hiding in the Lord. But yet He's still feeding and taking care of David. And His enemies are looking, and there's nothing they can do about it. Nothing they can do about it. All because He is taking refuge in God. So He says, you and I need to learn how to take refuge in God. We need to make God our hiding place. Amen? When stuff comes against you, you need to learn how to hide under God. Amen. You need to learn how to let Him cover you. Let Him stretch out over you. Let Him provide for you the necessary security that you need. It's taking refuge. Sometimes that means you can't fight even though you want to fight. Amen. It means being still. And saying, God, you know I want to go deal with this, but you haven't released me yet to go deal with it. And I trust you. And as long as I'm trusting you, I can't move until you say move. And I trust that you're going to deal with the issue that's in front of me, the thing that is attacking me, because God, your desire is to bless me and to bless me abundantly. You want me to be successful in fulfilling the plans that you have for my life. And therefore, God, I know that no weapon that has been formed against me will be able to prosper. But right now, I just got to settle in and hide in you. Sometimes you are so tired and weary. Can we be honest? You can't fight. Amen. Sometimes the blows of the enemy have come against you so hard. And man, all you're doing is waiting for the bell to ring so you can go over to the corner. Because you need to catch your breath. Amen. You're waiting for halftime since it's Super Bowl Sunday. You're waiting for halftime so you can go in and regroup, realizing that I have two more quarters to come back and try to do something. Sometimes it's just that bad when the enemy is pressing in against you that the answer becomes, I've got to find refuge in God. I got to rest in Him. In the midst of it all, I got to rest in Him. Here's how you know that when you're struggling with finding refuge in God. Because refuge in God also equals peace of heart and mind. When anxiety continues to take over, you haven't yet found refuge. But just because you haven't found it, don't stop. It's not far away. Anxiety doesn't leave because the problem has left. Anxiety leaves because you realize that the one who can handle the problem is with you. Amen? And so you bring all of that stuff under the authority of him who is able to deal with it, and you allow his peace to settle upon your heart and mind. There, see, anxiety doesn't leave because you know all the answers. Anxiety can leave before you know the answers, because you know the one who hold the answers. You've determined and you've made up your mind that God is for me and he is not against me. And that this too shall pass. And on the other side, I'm going to come out blessed. Meaning I'm going to come out better than when this thing came up on me. Amen. But in order for that to happen, I've got to learn how to take refuge in him. I've got to learn how to rest in him. Learn how to let him cover me and protect me and keep me from the assault of the enemy. Amen. And then verse 20 said this, it said, in the shelter of your presence, you hide them. These are those who have learned how to fear the Lord, who are taking refuge in God. He said, in the shelter of your presence, you hide them from all human intrigues, and you keep them safe in your dwelling from accusing tongues. Psalm 91, you're familiar with it. I'm going to turn to it so I don't mess it up, right? He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will what? Rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Listen to verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he is what? My refuge and my fortress. My God, in whom I trust. I'm dwelling in his presence, in his shelter, and I'm finding the rest that I need because he is my refuge and he is my fortress. God says that he desires to give abundant blessing to those who fear him and who take refuge in him. Blessing does not mean the absence of trouble, but the greatest blessing that you and I can have is the presence of God that is with us even in the midst of trouble. Because if he is with us, it doesn't matter what weapon that the enemy has launched against us, it will not be successful because the enemy is always trying to play catch up with God. He's never in front of God. He's always behind God, trying to interfere with God's plans. Therefore, he'll never be successful as long as I am finding refuge in God and placing fear in him. This is probably best illustrated in the life of a young man that you guys are very familiar with by the name of Joseph. You remember Joseph? Joseph was the son of Jacob. Joseph was born to the wife that Jacob loved. But he was also born in Jacob's old age. For there had been many other brothers that had been born to Jacob before Joseph showed up. And when Joseph was born, he caught Jacob's eye and he became the affection. He said he loved that boy unlike he had loved the others. So much so that Jacob, if you remember, had him this nicely ornamental coat that was made, this robe that this young boy wore around. When he did that, it bothered his brothers that his daddy chose to bless him abundantly. Ooh, I gotta get a sip. To make matters worse, Joseph had been given the gift of being a dreamer and an interpreter of dreams. God gave Joseph a dream that allowed him to see what would take place in the future. And Joseph mistakenly told his brothers that couldn't stand him about this dream of what God wanted to do. And all he did was stoke the fire of those brothers who have allowed hostility, excuse me, hostility to build up in them. And so now when he tells them about this dream, all this stuff bubbles up in them, and all they want to do is get rid of this boy that has been a blessing to his father, and that it seems like God has given him something special. And so one day, as Joseph is being obedient to his father Jacob, going out into the field where his brothers were watching over the sheep, going out to check on him, the brothers see him coming. And of course, you can't miss Joseph on his way, because what? He's got this coat that makes him stand out in a crowd or make you recognize him from a distance. And then they see him coming and they say, here comes that dreamer. Let's take care of him once and for all. And you remember what happened. They take Joseph and they take him and they throw him into a pit. They wanted to kill him, but then one of the other brothers said, that's not a good idea. He is our brother. Let's not be like that, y'all. So they said, well, let's just throw him in the pit. And then while they had him in the pit, they came up with some other idea that, wait a minute, we see some slave traders coming. We can just sell this boy and get some money. Ain't no need. Let's get something off of him, right? And so they sell him into slavery. And he has to go. So he goes from the pit into slavery. But here's where the illustration shows up. When you go back and read that story, there's going to be a recurring phrase that keeps showing up in Joseph's story and his experience. And that phrase is this: God was with him. That no matter what they did, God was with him. Oh, you want to throw me in a pit? It don't matter. God is with me. Oh, you want to sell me into slavery? It don't matter. God is with me. Oh, you want to falsely accuse me like I want you? You got to go read the story, right? You're going to falsely accuse me? And check this out. When she falsely accused Joseph, she robbed her husband in herself of the abundant blessing that was coming about through the hands of Joseph. Okay, I won't stay there either. But each stage, God was with Joseph. And when God was with Joseph, what happened? Favor fell upon Joseph. See, if you got the blessing of God's presence being with you, what does it mean? That it means that no matter what the enemy throws your way, that he won't be able to conquer you. That means that in the midst of stuff that seems like it should go against you, that God is going to give you favor. Why? Because God is with you. And wherever God is, there seems to be freedom. Wherever God is, there seems to be a presence of power. Wherever God is, there is this unstoppable one who is escorting you in and out of whatever it is that you might be going through. Brothers and sisters, I'm just telling you that God has an abundant blessing for you that extends beyond what your mind can imagine. I'm going to use Joseph, but I want you to know that God has a blessing just for you, and you can't allow your imagination or your experiences to get in the way of what God wants to do with you. All he saw in the dream was that one day his brothers and his daddy would come and bow down before him. What he didn't understand is that God was going to elevate him to second in command in the land of Egypt. He had no idea that all the stuff that he was going through was preparing him for the abundant blessing that God had for him. And what I'm saying to you is don't let your stuff throw you off track. God sees you. God knows you. God recognizes you. God has a plan for you and your stuff. The trouble that's coming your way ain't doing nothing but setting you up for God to bless you abundantly as long as you maintain a healthy fear of God and take refuge in Him and say, God, have your way. Have your way. You remember what happened with Joseph's brothers at the end of the story? Joseph said, y'all meant it for evil. God intended it and used it for good, for the saving of many, many lives, for the saving of many lives. So if God blesses you abundantly, it's because He wants you to be an abundant blessing. Amen. If what He let comes your way is not for you to keep for yourself, He wants you to be an abundant blesser. Amen. Oh, when he gives you the gift of healing, oh, He don't want you to be selective in who you touch. Amen. Amen. He wants you to take the good news of Jesus Christ wherever you go and wherever there are folks who are locked up in sickness. He wants you to be bold enough to say to them, you shall be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because if He blesses you abundantly, He wants you to be an abundant blesser. The saving of many lives. Brothers and sisters, I don't know where you are in your walk with fear. I don't know where you are in your refuge. But according to our scripture today, if you can learn how to fear God and take refuge in Him, He has stored up blessings for you that He wants to bestow up on you beyond what you can imagine. And the key is not to pursue God for those things that you think He has stored up for you. But the key is this: chase God and pursue Him and catch Him and let Him be with you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. Father, we thank You for the great privilege that You've given us today to worship together, to celebrate, God, the greatness of who You are. We thank You, Lord, that You are indeed our Jehovah Jireh, that You are our provider. There is no need that we have that You can't meet. We thank You that You are our Jehovah Nisi, our banner, that when we hide behind You, we walk out in victory, because You have said that You will fight on our behalf. God, we thank You that You are our Jehovah Shalom, that You are our peace. That in the midst of the storm, that we can be like Jesus sleeping in the boat. That we can have peace because You are with us. Help us, Father, to lead our soul to blessing You. To let Your praise be continually in our mouths and upon our lips. To declare truth in the midst of difficulty and to rest in You and take refuge in You. By the power of Your Spirit, help us to walk in absolute humility before you and trust you, God, to deliver. That it matters not what issue or situation that we're dealing with. You are the God who is big enough to address it. And we will be careful not to put you in a box. We'll be careful not to dictate to you how to fulfill your plan for our lives. But as we walk close to you, we will let you lead us, guide us, and direct us so that your name is glorified and Jesus is exalted. We thank you today, and we love you with an everlasting love. In Jesus' name, the people of God said, amen.